direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
So grateful you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We're continuing our study in Psalm 29, where we read, "Ascribe unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, ascribe unto the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." First, it says, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Glory gives the sense of the proper respect we should have of him, that our view of him should be framed by taking delight that he is the Almighty and the All-Powerful One. There's a reason we're being called to this. I said yesterday, in Israel's history, the sad reality was that from the beginning, there was the awful problem of dethroning God and refashioning him into the image of the weak gods of the pagan nations, which were really nothing but the idols of people's imaginations. We keep referencing the golden calf event, but what makes that event so heinous is that it took the image of the invisible God and they made him into the image of a golden calf. Israel's history was not that they utterly rejected the existence of God, but that they took God and they made him into the kind of God they wanted him to be. A God that was tangible, a God that served them, a God that existed for their pleasure, a God who existed to serve their carnal appetites and wants, a God who ultimately was powerless to defeat the enemy. That's why they transferred his glory into the image of the gods of the pagans. So for Israel, this constant temptation was set before them in their worship to make God into one of them. And when things didn't go as planned, or life in the land became a curse to them, what did they do? Did they turn to the Lord when their enemies and nations came against them to destroy them? Not at all. Instead, because of a weak, carnal, powerless, unfaithful view of the Lord, they called upon the gods of the pagans to deliver them. They called upon other nations to help them. They called upon the Baals and the Ashtaroths, Baal they believed to be the god of the storm. Oh, they didn't say there was no God in Israel, but their view of him was powerless. And if you think we haven't fallen into this is the very reason the apostle commanded by the Spirit that we should be anxious for nothing. Why? Because God is in his temple. Let all the world keep silent. People are anxious. They're worried about this. They're worried about money. They're worried about children. They're worried. They have fear. They're angry about circumstances. And why is that? Well, the answer is because our conception and our view of God is a powerless one. Our eye is down. Anxiety in life that causes this empty stress results from attempting to enthrone us over the tyranny of our circumstances instead of bowing in humble awe, trusting the Lord that he is high and lifted up. And he calls me to wait upon him, to believe in him. Yes, I say wait upon the Lord. So David is summoning the angels above and the humans below to ascribe glory and strength to the Lord. He is the strong one. This is what is due to properly enjoy him and to know him. Now we focus on the second thing this psalm says. Verse 2, give unto the Lord, ascribe unto the Lord the glory that is due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. What do you think of when you think of worship? Well, I know what most people think of today. Sky's the limit. Whatever your heart tells you to do, just do. Do you know that the word worship used here and throughout the Old Testament means, by definition, to bow down? Isn't it interesting that of all the words the Lord could have chosen to describe what we should be doing when we come before Him, it means to bow down. In the New Testament, proskuneo. It means, again, to kneel or bow down in homage of someone, to show the greatest amount of respect and reverence. In Hebrews, when it uses the other word for worship, again, it means to pay homage. And then he follows up describing what paying homage or reverencing this God looks like. You must do it in a manner that is pleasing to Him with great respect and godly fear. Now think about this. I want you to come and bow, acknowledging that all your power, all your earthly success, all your life comes not by your own strength or might, but to deeply be overwhelmed in the heart of the Lord's infinite majesty, His irresistible power, His glory and strength that He has given so that people may serve and worship Him. We put crowns at this King's feet. We bow our hearts and humble all of His majesty in the proper posture of worship, subordinating our wills and our minds to Him. You see why knowing God has to be according to knowledge. Because left to ourselves, what do we do to Him? What comes into your minds when we think about God is the most important thing about you? The concept of God in our minds affects our whole worldview. We see all of life through what we believe of God, our view of Him. It shapes everything about us. And that's why I'm doing this series, because nothing is more under attack today than a proper view of God in His holiness. Let me quote Al Mohler here. This is the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Most people operate out of an understanding of God that is decidedly unbiblical and unorthodox. How did this happen? Unhindered by Scripture, many have progressively redefined God so that the deity was cut down to manageable size. A God that even the liberals could love. A God was stripped of His attributes and robbed of His holiness. Liberal theology stressed the love of God while denying His holiness and justice. Before long, all that was left was a weak, though good-natured deity, hobbling about, generally hoping that His crewmen creatures would just get along somehow. The God of American pop culture is an indulgent, heavenly spirit who is of little threat to our lifestyles and luxuries. The vast majority of Americans claiming to believe in God, but most believe in an idol of their own imaginations. This deity is always there to be called upon in times of trouble, but He would never intrude on our personal space, judge our sins, or hinder our happiness. This anemic view of God, held by many church members, is evident in doctrinal confusion, corrupted worship, compromised evangelism, and spiritual deadness. The absence of awe and wonder and exaltation in our worship indicates that we have rejected the most critical teaching of Scripture, the fear of the Lord. Well, that about sums it up, doesn't it? We have a powerless view of God today, an idolatrous view of God. This, dear listener, is the culture that you and your children have been raised in, immersed in. This is what has become of the God of this land. Why then is everything non-threatening? Why then is everything uncomfortable about the true God? The painful answer is the God that people are coming before today is not the God who is enthroned over the whole earth. He is an imaginary God made into the carnal desire of our wicked hearts. There's no sense anymore of holy transcendence. Now, against that background, do you see what this psalm is doing? It calls us to worship. And then did you notice what it does? What imagery could God use to completely raid people's corrupted minds of them thinking and lowering Him to this degree? He describes a storm. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been in an awful storm. I remember as a child being caught up in one, and I was scared to death. Within an hour, everything went black. The wind blew so hard, I had to hold on to something. The thunder above raged. Lightning could be seen. Hail was falling everywhere, and I never forget my father running to grab me to take me to cover. You don't appreciate what is now described in Psalm 29 unless you're taken out into the middle of the storm, able to see how awful it is and the total devastation and destruction it leaves in its wake and path. Verses 3 through 9 of Psalm 29 describe a storm. Let me read a little bit of this. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. I want you to picture this. I believe what's happening here is something the Jews greatly feared. These awful storms would come over the Mediterranean Sea. And deep in the blackness in the heart of the sea, storms would come up. You think of Ezekiel that we went through and the storm of God's fury and wrath. It was a firestorm. What we have seen on the news in the past weeks even and months, you know, even as hurricanes and tornadoes rip through places, leaving nothing, leaving it in total devastation. Here we have a storm described as beginning deep in the midst of the sea. Deep within the Mediterranean, a storm begins to form, and it raises up like a blanket of black terror, heading for the land. Nothing can stop it. As it comes to the shore, it comes in hurricane-like fury. It sweeps down the entire strip of the land of Canaan, disappearing deep within the desert to the south. Everything left behind in the wake of that storm is utterly destroyed and laid bare. The psalm is describing this, dear listener. The psalm is correcting our view of God by describing Him as this storm, the thunder being like His voice. Notice it. Did you notice how powerful the voice of the Lord is? The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Everyone who heard this voice and come in power dropped and trembled. It shakes everything in its path. The closest thing we have in nature to this to understand it is thunder. The powerful rolling thunder does nothing but shake the ground under our feet and terrify people. This is our God. This is the God of heaven and earth. This is the God who comes in thunderous rage because of sin. And we have to understand Him this way. We cannot dethrone Him and cut Him down to make the deity into a manageable size for us. He is God. He is high and lifted up. And without a covering of the gospel of Jesus Christ, without a covering of the blood and righteousness of His Son, one day He's going to come in a great firestorm of His wrath, and He will judge the nations. He will judge the nations, and everyone without a covering will be left to utter destruction. That's why we preach the gospel, dear listener. That's why we're in awe of this God, that this holy God loved enough to send His Son, that whosoever believes in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Get ready, the storm is coming. Get ready by fleeing to the Son of the living God. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days are the worship service times. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.